Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Friends, it's Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative, and once again, I'm really grateful to have an opportunity to sit down with Tim Sorens and my colleague Adam Mixon. I wanted to open with a passage from Eugene Peterson's translation of the New Testament. Most folks know it as The Message. And I love this little section from Hebrews 13. Jesus was crucified outside the city gates. That is where he poured out the sacrificial blood that was brought to God's altar to cleanse his people. So let's go outside where Jesus is, where the action is. Not trying to be privileged insiders, but taking our share in the abuse of Jesus. This insider world is not our home. We have our eyes peeled for the city about to come. So let's take our place outside with Jesus. No longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. I was thinking about both of you and the ministries that you've both been involved with for quite some time. And I was thinking about this language of going outside the camp, that is the starting point for where ministry happens. And that simple shift to me is actually not so simple in most places. So with that, I would love to know where that passage, translation, and my comments intersect with your experience and just what you're thinking about.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm just tickled at the thought of telling a bunch of well-meaning church folks, Jesus ain't in here. He's out there. Obviously, we carry Christ's presence with us everywhere we go, but
right. The
end of all of this is not for us to sit next to each other and sing happy songs, but it is to go out there, right? To be out there, which is just fascinating to me. I think if we pay attention to what we experienced with the pandemic, we were forced to realize God wasn't where we placed him. But I think we've forgotten. I've had too many conversations across too many different contexts where everybody wants to just get back. And there is no getting back.
I was thinking about when listening to that text, which is pretty incredible, asking the question together, where is God at work? And that sounds like a simple Sunday school kind of a question, but I think it's much more complex. And a lot of us would say, well, God is at work all over the place, literally everywhere. And that's easier to kind of ascend to mentally than it is to see and name. It's maybe part of why our defaults are more oriented towards the programming and the buildings and the meetings that we can curate and design, because at least we can say, we did that. I think it's quite a question to say, where is God at work and how do we join in that work? And that, I would say, at least for me personally, was not a fundamental question as it had to do with my own faith formation. I was never confronted with that. The default was actually, God is here in this building and this is why we bring people here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some truth to that. But You'd think that given the long history and tradition of the Christian faith, this would not be a perplexing question for us. But it is for me. And I don't think that the default is, of course, God is everywhere. And of course, God is renewing everything. So of course, we are identifying and connecting followers of Jesus in every neighborhood and in every sector towards maximizing and cultivating shalom. Of course, that's what we're doing. Mm. That's not the default. And the fact that it's not the default is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Tim, I'm curious specifically in your work with the Parish Collective, which is fundamentally and intentionally a very distributed way of thinking about where faith happens, distributed out in neighborhoods in very unpredictable ways. What have you all seen on that front? What are the ways that you've seen faith shaped in these unconventional ways, which maybe should not be so unconventional, but which are?
Well, so many ways, hundreds of ways. But I would say that the ancient call to love God and love neighbors and neighborhoods is harder than it sounds. And so what happens is particularly on the neighbor and neighborhood element of it, when you try and love a neighborhood, you discover that it's complex, and the neighborhood and those neighbors reflect back, sometimes in difficult ways. And so the faith formation is really interesting because from my experience, both as a witness to hundreds of examples of this and my own personal experience, is that in seeking to be a part of and love a neighborhood and join in the hopes and dreams and work of God at the neighborhood level, it actually is not a church growth technique per se. It actually is a deeply formative experience because you try something, you learn from it, even if you feel like it was successful or whatever. Regardless of the outcome, there is going to be an invitation to learn, to grow, to be challenged. Almost all of the teachings of Jesus are happening along the way. There's a presumption, of course you are doing stuff. Mm-hmm. There's not a separation of our faith over here and our life over there. It's definitely all integrated. And so in seeking to pick your metaphor, be salt and light, join in what God's up to, mm-hmm. make disciples, we're going to skin our knees, and then that's going to require us to come back to God and say, God, who do you need us to be and become in order to even keep up with what you're doing? And that is why I think the questions of mission and common mission and kind of like the rolling up our sleeves and doing stuff, activism and entrepreneurship and service and those more like tactical doing things are really, really important. But it's like a pendulum that has to come right back. It demands that we also say, okay, who do I need to be and become as I go about this work? Mm-hmm. And if not, then we're just in the business of projects. We're not in the business of growing up as people. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot to offer as to the distinctive of our Christian faith and the Christian story, which I think is really compelling.
Tim, you said the word integration, and that's kind of where I just dropped down. Again, I've had the gift of serving the same congregation for a long period of time, and serving that whole time multi-vocationally, which means that Monday came for me just like it came for all the people that I was serving with. And early on, and again, this is just, it sounds personal, but I think the personal, when we share it, can have some universal quality. I was trying to make sure that I was living in such a way that if you saw Adam on Sunday, it was the same Adam you saw in the office on Monday. It was the same Adam that you saw at the game with his kid on Friday. That just trying to live one life. Not all of these compartments that we celebrate, but a life that was deeply integrated where what I did was informed by who I was. The being is what informed the doing. So as I embraced this way of living, then I took that very seriously as this is what I offer to others. One life before God, undivided. You know, where it's not my spiritual life and then my business life and my personal life and my family life. And I have all of these compartments, but I live one life before God and I live with integrity. That life is integrated. Who I am before God is what informs what I do, what I say, how I live, how I love one another. And we're all on this journey together. Which again was fraught with, you know, wrong turns and mistakes. But I once asked the congregation, I said, what meaningful lesson have any of us ever learned that we didn't fail at first? Math, walking, riding a bike, falling in love, everything that matters, every meaningful lesson we learn through failing. You failing miserably, so go. Go figure out what this looks like at work and at home and in the market and while you're in traffic and, you know, let's figure out what this looks like together, which means that I have to abdicate any deference that I might enjoy as a pastor, as a minister. Nah, we're stumbling through figuring this stuff out, trying to learn what it means to live faithfully wherever God places us. And I'm not an expert. I think that's the final turn that has to happen with clergy in particular, you do have to decenter.
What I hear you saying is, in order for me to have any authority, and I mean that in the best possible way, I'm going to have to live the kind of a integrated life that those in my congregation, in their unique ways, in their unique stories, would be open to modeling. I'm going to do it too. I'm seeking to live one life undivided before God. That's what I'm asking of you to. I think that's really powerful. And I'll say, from my, you know, all my journeys in different neighborhoods, it's really interesting when you ask the question of like, how do you gain influence or authority in most kind of Christendom structures? It tends to look like speaking really well, raising a lot of money, you know, those kinds of things. Nothing wrong with that at all. But in an integrated life, like at a local neighborhood level, those aren't nearly as valuable. You're not going to gain a following by like having lots of followers or crushing a 30-minute talk. It just is not there.
It's slow and it's deliberate and you got to have people close to you.
Yep.
And what I love about this is that we started talking about, in a very broad sense, about faith formation happening out there somewhere in surprising ways. But it's interesting how this really does come to bear on pastors and ministry leaders, that it's almost like this implicit word to say, yeah, you need to get out there and be shaped by it in ways that you're not expecting. I remember on our board, many folks know Jack Fortin, who's at Augsburg College and written some really good books. And that's something I learned from Jack years ago, is he said, you know, the best thing I took from Martin Luther was, Luther said, you just need to believe the gospel and then you just need to go out there and get mixed up in stuff. He said, that's pretty much it. You just need to get out there, get mixed up in the world, and just know that Jesus is with you. And that, to me, has been a really important image for what pastoral ministry is. And, you know, along the lines, Tim, of what you're saying about the incentives within our structures, I think that's the really hard thing here, is we have built these big systems that, you know, if you're the pastor of an inherited, sort of established, traditional congregation, this is very hard, because the incentive for you in terms of your leadership and your authority and paying your own bills and everything else is always going to keep moving you back into, I got to make another good speech, I got to lead another good thing, I've got to continue to perform. And I don't say that with any cynicism. I say it out of sympathy. I think it's really well-intended and hard work. But somehow to begin shifting your own life, Adam, to your point about, start asking, how can I lead a truly whole, integrated life so that we disrupt this very dangerous cycle of me being the provider of religious goods and services and everybody else coming to my door expecting me to give them that, and it just kind of goes around and around. And instead, how can I make sure people know that they can just see me at the ball game on Friday and that's me?
But look, man, honestly, there is a cost. Most of what I'm saying, kind of off the cuff, there's a cost. Yeah. Pastoring the way that I'm being led in the context where I'm serving, it is not what I dreamed or imagined it would be by any stretch of the word. And it took some time accepting that, especially when you have all these metrics and all these rubrics of what successful ministry is supposed to look like and blah, blah, blah. And you're in competition with the folks down the street and this, that, and the other. But really wedding yourself to this idea of showing up in the space that God has called you to and being faithful in that space, whatever that looks like. And that being enough. That's not easy to learn, and nothing you get from a seminary is going to. I almost wish people would get some experience before they went to seminary. And I say that because if the seminary just reinforces me bowing to some idol of what success in ministry is going to look like, I essentially become a part of the machinery that will allow me to become a spiritual surrogate and have people depending on me rather than them growing up in grace and knowledge and eventually putting me out of work. The point of a good pastor is to be out of work. At some point, you don't need me because you learned how to live out your faith so practically. I could be gone and it wouldn't matter. Not that you wouldn't be sad, but with taught these unhealthy, yo, they need me. So no, the goal is for them to not. Because if the ministry becomes about my personality, then when I die, guess what happens? So does the work. It's just not healthy.
Here's a question that is prompting in me that might be helpful for those that are listening in right now. I think all of us, certainly myself, wants to be successful, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that, for a lot of us in the world of church and congregational life, is a shifting target at best. So asking that question together feels really, really important to have really honest conversations about what really would it mean for me to be a successful pastor in this congregation, in this time, in this place, and then really get into interrogating the incentives towards that or pushing against it.
That's good.
And then in a lot of our cases, coming to the realization that the best response to most of those questions is for us to be healthy, faith-filled human beings filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yep.
And that the starting point of that is probably somewhere out there in the places where the Spirit is at work in surprising ways. And that juxtaposition is difficult to navigate. But I think, Tim, to your point, that when we begin to have a serious assessment and interrogation of ourselves, our faith, and the systems we're in, that tension is probably where most of us land. And I'm grateful for it in some ways, because I'm grateful for the freedom that the Spirit gives us to sit there and sit there with it together.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.